Got it. Here we go. 11:06. Get in that wagon, Tom, please. I'll help you out. There you go. The wagon's moving already. A horse horse. So funny. I almost got a big mouthful of that pond water diving in there. All right. No whip today. I said no whip. All right. Unacceptable TSA manpower issues, Tom. Coming to SeaTac just in time for holiday travel during the summer months. And the fact that who's gone? Oh, Como picked this up for us. Reports a terrible weekend SeaTac airport traffic.
Passengers posted pictures complaining on Twitter of 90-minute waits, missed flights, and airlines tweeting back to passengers. Southwest apologizing, it will help, but TSA is responsible for the delays. Alaska Airlines apologizing too, offering options in case passengers miss flights. Mm. But it wasn't the airline's fault. Or a frustrated Port of Seattle's, which manages the lines leading into the security checks, it was TSA.
Sunday was unacceptable. This is not the kind of customer service we want to see.
A response from TSA's regional security director says it was a combination of several things. Passenger volumes exceeded the TSA's screening capacity, and there was a shortage of officers to handle the capacity on Sunday. And there's an unprecedented hiring challenge to add more officers nationwide. And on Sunday, there was a shortage of bomb-sniffing canine units due to injuries of either the dog or their handler.
No matter how well we can...
What?
Injuries? That's compelling.
Yeah, right. The dog got hurt?
Or the...
Yeah, hurt.
Dog companion.
By the way, here's what they should do. They don't have enough of those dogs. Get more of those dogs and get somebody to sponsor. Yes. Here's what you do. Get a private company to put their name on the little thing that the dog wears, right? This ease and comfort and not having to take your shoes off brought to you by, you know, some Larry. Shoe company or something like that. Because the thing is, so you see the dog. Everybody loves the dog. We stand in line like, where's the dog? Bring the dog. Yeah. Because when the dog sniffs you out, you don't have to take your shoes off, your belt off, you don't have to do anything. You breeze right on through because the dog says you don't have any bombs. That's the most brilliant thing. Get more dogs in place.
That's true.
Manage those lines and where they even go. We can't get anything more through the checkpoint than they've got enough staff to get them through.
Senator Maria Cantwell and port commissioners touted the staffing of 10 bomb-sniffing dogs.
There you go.
Which speed up the lines significantly.
We endeavor to get all passengers through checkpoints in 20 minutes or less, and we rely heavily on TSA to make that goal.
SeaTac passenger loads will grow 5% over last summer. The airport is hoping TSA can match that demand and dogs don't get injured.
At this point, we're just not quite sure.
Okay.
So, yeah, the good thing is I think they figured it out, and you're right. You've explained to me personally. I haven't benefited from having these dogs there, but
oh,
they speed things up unbelievably, and we were promised 10. The problem is, as I mentioned, that there's a shortage of them right now due to injuries. Now, they say it did not involve any interaction with passengers, so I don't know what the injuries entailed, but that's a concern. They also said that some of the dogs of these are still being trained, and currently they're rotating dogs from other airports to match passenger demand. So they've got these dogs on like a guy on the runway saying, okay, you go to Philly. We need you
right.
in Seattle kind of stuff. So that's the problem is that they're not up and running. They're looking for more TSA agents, and the dogs, which are maybe worth a lot of, more efficient than, TSA person, they're hard to come by at this point.
You know, the other thing that's happened is people do pre-check.
Yes.
They have reached the tipping point where now the line for pre-check is longer.
Long? Yes. I know that. I did experience that the last time I looked up.
It's like, oh, hey. I'm TSA pre-check. Well, there's your line. Yeah. You're like, what?
Get in line, buddy.
They knew it was coming.
Yeah.
So then you got to do the other thing, which is the check thing, the quick check or whatever that thing I bought.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that allows you put your fingers on the thing, it checks your eyes, and then you go right to the front of the line.
Is that right? Okay.
What's the name of it? Quick check or whatever it's called. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the best.
Did that
way
cost
to
money?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's the way to weed out the rough riff.
Excuse me, Mr. Riff and Raff. Let me get ahead of you. You do feel really guilty because the guy in a nice vest, after he clears you, it's called clear. After he clears you, he walks you past everybody. They unhook the little stanchions and walk you right up to the angry TSA guy that checks your thing. And he just goes, he's clear. And you don't even have to show him anything. And you go right in there.
Wow.
It's the best. It is like 200 and some bucks a year, but it's worth it. Let's see the fact that the big question is, do we have enough pilots, as more and more pilots are aging out? And I think 65 is where they kick you out. They don't care if you're in good health or not. They just, you're gone. You're gone. Yeah. Maybe it's 63, 64. And what's going to happen is a number of pilots that had come through programs in the 70s, they don't have enough to actually take the jobs now to come in underneath them because the pay is so low in order to get your hours in the seat in order to move to commercial airline positions. A lot of people don't want to work for $15 an hour flying small airlines through Michigan and Indiana and things like that. So there's a dearth of pilots, and the question is always put before the airline industry. What do you think about having no pilot at all, just computers running the plane?
So AI is getting closer and closer to creating, an autonomous cockpit. So you could have nobody in the pilot seat. And it could work just fine. And they're close enough to that that they're now testing out how people's reactions to that. And they said, you know what? We may be just a few years away from perfecting this. Mm-hmm. But right now we are decades away from convincing people to go with that. Mm-hmm. They did this study where they said they wanted to create kind of a sense of how people feel. They did this in India and America. How do they feel about having two male pilots, a male and a female pilot, two female pilots, and an autonomous cockpit? And by far, the autonomous cockpit was unpopular, you know, to the nth degree. In other words, they're going to have to do a lot of convincing the rest of us, the general traveler, to go ahead and try this, even though they say that it could be deemed as every bit as safe, if not safer. People are just nervous. And so what they thought was, we're going to have to kind of ease people into this. Mm-hmm. So what they might do is they might have one pilot and an AI operation.
Okay.
And then they could easily start having the AI could do the information. The autonomous cockpit could do most of the flying, but you have the reassurance that there's a human there. Mm-hmm. That might be the transitional state before we eventually. I don't think anybody has a problem when you get on the monorail here when it goes. There's no engineer because it's a pretty restricted area.
Yeah,
that
you
have
can't
to go.
Fly off and go in the side of a mountain.
Well, remember there was an accident though. I mean, but still, yeah, you're right. But at this point, I think most of us would be pretty nervous. And by the way, Indians have a problem with having female pilots.
They say
it's
really
a cultural thing. Yeah. Americans, they see no difference between two men, a man and a woman, or two women. Mm-hmm. But Indian culture is such that the women make them more nervous as pilots. They say these are some of the stereotypes they have to deal with. But there is a consensus that nobody wants an autonomous cockpit with no human contact.
Dr. Phil used to be an airline psychiatrist whose job it was to analyze the transcripts of planes that had crashed.
Wow.
And he pointed out in this one book he'd written that the hierarchy in the Asian culture of this more senior pilot in comparison to the junior pilot, there's a breakdown in communication. And he says, and that is more dangerous than perhaps having two females in there who communicate differently or more equally understanding one another. So he said, in the senior pilot, and they take the transcripts and it's like they're getting ready and the ice is building up on the thing. And the younger pilot says to the older pilot, the more seasoned pilot, wow, look at the way that snow's starting to build up. I think we should hit it again. No, we're good. Wow, look at that. Now the wind's starting to pick up. I think the temperature's dropped a little bit. What do you think? Think we should have them hit it again? Nope, we're good. So rather than saying, you know what, I'm not comfortable with that, he every single time, he acquiesced to the senior pilot. And because of that hierarchy between the senior and the junior in the Asian culture, it caused the plane to crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes you want two people
that
communicate more clearly or at least are more open to one another. So two women or two men, as long as you don't have that sort of built-in cultural bias of the older and the younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the classic sci-fi movie will be when the AI, when the computer is flying the plane and he clashes with the human. You know, our concern is that when, you know, you've become Hal.
Quick,
in the
cast it. Who's the pilot? Who's the pilot? Kurt Russell?
Okay, Kurt Russell, that would be good.
All right,
and then like Hal, 80. Hal from 2001 would be the computer.
All right. Here's the deal. It has been longstanding policy in the United States that if you are coming from a situation in which your husband is beating you, you're a domestic violence victim, you can come to the United States and seek asylum, and we would be protecting women that were being violated in some way, or their life was threatened, regardless of where they're coming from. You would come through the process, and all you had to basically say is, listen, my husband's beating the crap out of me. He's been doing it for 10 years. Can I come here to the United States for safe haven?
Yes.
And it's always sort of been understood that we would allow this to occur. But in this speech, the immigration judges, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, warned asylum process is getting too clogged up. He says,
the number of illegal entrants has surged. Credible fear claims have skyrocketed. And the percentage of asylum claims found to be meritorious by our judges has declined significantly. That's because the vast majority of the current asylum claims we're seeing are not valid, and you're not finding them valid. For the last 5 years, only 20% of claims have been found to be meritorious after a hearing before an immigration judge.
Okay. So we talked about this yesterday, so that you go before an immigration asylum investigator first, and then you can go before the judge if you'd like. So he's saying that when they get to the judge, only 20% are considered to be valid.
Yes. Now, you had a higher percentage.
47 overall. Yeah.
So in this particular case, what's appalling to a lot of people in this case is that we're dealing with a specific woman from El Salvador.
He does sort of address that in the second cut. You want to hear it?
Oh, he does. Okay. Yeah. Well, do we need to
well,
have
he
it
just
set
says
up?
That the U.S. can't solve everybody's problems.
Okay. I mean, the circumstance was that she had an immigration board rule in her favor.
Right.
That she had, in El Salvador, she had been threatened and beat up by her husband, and she claims raped by her husband. She moved to a different part of El Salvador, and he came after her, so she was leaving El Salvador to come here, and a board said that, yes, because of domestic violence and abuse, we will allow you to come here.
But then Sessions stepped in on this one and
that's
sent
right,
it back
which is
to
rare,
judge.
Which is usually the judge is the Latin, the tradition right. is the judge is the final decision maker, but in this case, the attorney general, after all, he is the attorney general. He overrode the appeals board and decided, hey, I can personally interfere, and he did, and he got
he wants
what
to
he
send
wanted.
A message, Tom.
And we understand that all are due proper respect in court and the proper legal process, but we cannot abandon legal discipline and sound legal concepts. Under the INA, asylum is available for those who leave their home country because of persecution or fear on account of race, religion, nationality, or membership in a particular social group or political opinion. Asylum was never meant to alleviate all problems, even all serious problems, that people face every day all over the world.
So it's an easy fix. If the included in that umbrella of protection is domestic violence mentioned?
Yes. No. See, here's
See,
what
there
is.
You go.
This is the membership in a particular social group was a catch-all category that has in the past included victims of domestic violence and other abuse.
Okay.
So he is just redefining that more specifically by saying that's not enough.
Got
and
it.
A lot of people are feeling that this is really pretty harsh on the part of a Sessions and the Trump administration by extension, that they are now saying, okay, we don't care if you're a victim of gang violence or domestic abuse, if you've been raped by your, it's not our problem, it's your problem. And that's why a lot of people are upset.
Well, I think the woman becomes emblematic of the message that wants to be sent, which is, you know what, stop coming.
Yes.
It's unfortunate for her because now she goes, I don't know.
Well,
certainly not back to El Salvador.
Well, that's what they say. I mean, she has to return to her home country or, you know, go underground, go into Mexico. I don't know. But the problem is that the image of America is that we embrace these kinds of people, and instead we are, why are we so concerned about restricting it? Right now they say the odd thing is we are having a labor shortage because the economy is booming right now. We only have 3.8% unemployment that we could actually use some of these people that are trying to come to this country, and we're sort of like dispersing them back when we could use them. It's economically hitting on an economic situation that's no longer prevalent.
Well, what he is saying as well, Tom, because there are a certain number of people that are coming in, he's saying a lot of the people that are coming in, their stories don't add up. They're asking for asylum, so that rather than sneaking in and getting caught and being sent back, they're coming in, hey, I'd like asylum.
That's right.
So then you go through the process, and it's hard because they ask you for a lot of documentation.
That's
they want pictures. They want this. They want stories.
That's what we talked about yesterday.
I saw, I went onto a website, how to get asylum. It explains to keep your story straight. If they catch you lying, boy, you're done for. Make sure you tell the same story over and over again. These are the things that they'll look for. So he's saying they're coming in. They're claiming or wanting asylum in order to come into this country, and it's a lot of it is crap, according to Jeff Sessions. 80% of the people don't deserve asylum, but it's one way to get in the door. He's trying to tell people, stop coming to the United States.
But now he's saying, I know, John, and I understand that, and it's true. Race, religion, nationality, political opinion, you have to establish that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, now he's just saying, it doesn't matter if you can establish rape, if you can establish gang violence, if you can establish domestic violence, that's not good enough. That doesn't count. So that's what he's doing, is restricting the avenues. It's true. They may be, some people may be lying, but we're talking about that's not even a category that's allowed at this point. Yes, you've proven to us with whatever it needs to be proven that you, that your husband has beaten you up and raped you, but you still can't come in. That's not good enough. You need more than that.
I think gang violence is still included in that list. If government
Well, that's part of that catch-all category.
Right.
So this says the victims of domestic violence and gang violence generally will not qualify for asylum under federal law, according to Jeff Sessions.
Hmm. All right.
So,
let's see. By the way, there was a big missile launch, a secret missile launch that occurred at Whidbey Island yesterday.
Now, we aren't a news station, so make sure that your announcement is such.
All right,
that...
hang on. I'll read exactly what Jacob has written.
Okay.
Missile launch, question mark.
There you go.
Lens flare. Wait a minute. Mysterious object spotted over Whidbey Island raises questions.
You're quoting from Q13 Fox.
Yes.
So they're on the hook, not us.
Well, what was it that streaked across the sky last night, Tom?
It was a mysterious object.
Right, it's a mysterious object.
It looked a lot like a missile launch.
It did.
It looked like a missile launch for to a lot of people, including Cliff Mass, you know, from the meteorologist from the University of Washington. But it sounds like nobody knows. The one thing that the Naval Air Station, this is over Whidbey, the Naval Air Station Whidbey says, it wasn't us, it's not us. We have no missile launch capacity here, so it can't be us. So it's now just a big question about who, you know, what actually happened and who did it. Unfortunately, at the end of the Q13 story, they came up with a perfectly reasonable answer.
But they make you wait till the end.
Yeah, that's right. Clever. Tyler Rogaway at The Drive did some research and landed on a likely, if not exactly scintillating, answer, Q13 says.
Uh-oh.
The object might have been an air ambulance helicopter that was flying in the area at almost exactly the same time.
Picking up aliens.
Yeah, that's right. But still, that makes sense. A helicopter can go up, and it's over the area, and it's in the air. So I think it's mystery solved, unfortunately.
You think so? Yeah, you want it to be solved. We'll come back. Yeah, that's how you want to live, Tom. Let's see. Letting high school students sleep is promoting learning and mental health. Should not come as news to anybody. We'll tell you what city and what state nearby is allowing kids to sleep in. We'll be right back. We'll see how the grades improve. All righty, Tom and Curly Show. You write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 98973. Do appreciate all your involvement in the show. One of you gets a chance to be Letter of the Day. Young Jacob will determine whether or not you deserve Letter of the Day. Tom, I think Jacob's been doing as far as picking people that deserve to be at the top of the heap.
I think there's always room for improvement.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Can you tell I was a teacher at one point?
back off, Tom. Jacob, I'm sorry about that. I didn't mean for that to happen to you.
No, believe me, Jacob, if you know John very well, and I'm beginning to think you are getting to know him, that's exactly why John brought it up. Because he had heard me say something about it in the
past.
But
I think it's best to clear the air on the air.
Apparently, yeah. Never mind, Jacob's blushing. Look at, he's blushing as much as you are.
Andrew's blushing. All right, let's see. Let high school students sleep in to promote learning and mental health. Proponents urge. This story kicks around every couple of years, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Minnesota or Michigan, one of those M states, that said, we're going to start high school kids later. And I think even Washington, which is an upside down M, Tom, thinking about starting it later.
Don't forget Maine.
So they were saying, But then they said, well, the problem is going to be transportation because you're going to have two loads of buses. Yes. One flight picks up the younger kids, and then we got the teenagers sleeping in. Then the buses would have to come back and pick up sleepyheads.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in fact, the story that prompted this discussion is from Oregon. It's about Portland's considering doing this. But in the article, they cite Seattle has already done this, that they've pushed back start times to 8:45 a.m. rather than 7:45 a.m. So this is indeed being seriously considered. And it has, I mean, there's all the research shows what's practical and what's best for teenagers is they start late and let them, they have better academic performance and better athletic performance. The problem is, everything around the infrastructure of our lives is such that it goes against what would be best in terms of a sleep patterns. But one of the interesting things that I hadn't heard as much that they're focusing on heavily here is that they think that better later start times would lead to better sleep patterns and lead to less teenage suicide and depression.
Mm.
That right now they say that 18% of Oregon high school juniors have said they've seriously considered suicide, and they think that this contributes the kind of exhaustion one has. It doesn't. It promotes. I mean, it disengages one from proper mental health. And so if you think of this as not only helping their learning, but also helping their mental mood health and attitude, their mental health, that's a compelling enough reason that we should switch, you know.
It also changes the diet desire. So if you're running on less sleep, your body craves more simple carbohydrates. It'll eat more junk, more processed food. You'll find yourself wanting to eat more cookies and candies and cakes and stuff like that. Because for some reason, when the body is starved of sleep, it wants to take those nutrients, I don't know why, in. And they also find that kids' diets are bad when the kids are not getting enough sleep. We take the phones away from the kids starting at 9 o'clock, because what we found was they'd be sitting in their room till 1 a.m, you know, studying on their phone.
Yeah.
So
as before my time, you tell me they can study on their phone. You can do anything on the phone, John.
Yes, you can, Tom. So good. Hopefully we see some advancement. Maybe we have it spread to other states that with other letters other than M and O. 8 hours of sleep, is it enough? A new study says no, apparently not, according to sleep scientists.
Yeah, so there are a lot of it's not that big a difference, but they think it turns out we need 8.5 hours of sleep. That's the new 8 hours, so we should focus on that. There are genes that dictate if you're a morning person or a night owl, so it's not really your fault. They suggest taking a nap instead of meditating would be it's better for the rejuvenation of the body. Sleep. They argue sleep should be the new workers' rights. You know, we had the worst shift in the world. That for a while there, we were doing the morning show, and it's so disruptive. They say that should be that we should start thinking of that as a workers' rights issue. Now, I don't know if that would mean that you'd have shorter hours or you'd get paid more, but it's so disruptive and it's harmful. And I think of our poor morning crew that has to do that on a regular basis. So they say that might be the realm of workers' rights.
Sleep is so essential to the human being functioning correctly. When you're taken as a prisoner of war, one of the first things they do for you is they continuously interrupt your sleep. They put you to sleep at a certain point, then they wake you up, they keep you awake for a little while, then they put you back to sleep, or they put you in a dark room so you can't tell what time it is. The first way they break you down mentally and emotionally and physically is to interrupt your sleep in a scientific way.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly what happens with so many people. People work the Boeing shift. I talk to people that work, well, I'm on the one shift and then I do graveyard and I do this and do that. They have found a higher prevalence of breast cancer in people that are working graveyard shifts.
Really?
Because your body just isn't designed for that type of activity.
Yeah. And it's funny. Speaking of that, I just read that Donald Trump wasn't bragging. He was just pointing. He says, I don't think I've slept in 25 hours, and yet he was doing this.
So he does his best work?
Historic things, of his presidency. But it's like, he's just, I feel fine, you do. And I imagine you run on adrenaline. The thing is, you can't do that on a regular basis or it'll kill you mentally and physically.
Science came up with a study about a year ago that says if we could live the way we were supposed to live, we would sleep 4 times a day. And we would sleep small sections. We wouldn't do big 8-hour jobbies. We would do like an hour and a half. We would break it up. And we'd also eat differently as well. I'm reading a really cool book. I'll share it with you in the 3 minutes remaining, Tom. You'll love this. It's called Sex Before Dawn. And that they talk about is when we were a hunter-gatherer society, we were egalitarian. Everybody worked together. Man and woman were equally viewed as both very essential within the community. But then once we got into farming, now we had private property because this is my farm and this is your farm. I take these products and bring them to market and sell them. Yeah. Immediately, the woman went from not being equal in the relationship, but suddenly all that really mattered was her ability to bear children. So then her sex parts became a commodity in which she, that was her only currency. So then she took a one down position to the man. And then after that, we've never evolved as a species. Our brain, our biology, our chemistry, our hormones and everything are still established as an egalitarian society, an egalitarian people, as opposed to this idea of private property and the man is in charge, the woman is involved, and these maternal sort of instincts to join together. When really we should all be together sharing everything, food, meat and each other. That's the book. What do you think about that?
Sounds like socialism to me, John.
I know. And I'm like, I'm going to turn the book off. Yeah. And I thought, maybe it's going to turn and say something good about private property. Yeah. But I'm seven chapters in, and they keep going back to the way society operated best is through a hunter-gatherer technology.
And I wonder, it's interesting. So, yeah, once you establish farming and farms, you have your farm and their. Why the woman wouldn't be, an equal farm worker? It's interesting that maybe because you can raise enough, you can get enough food yourself, a one person can, and so if you're going to make a division, you make the division that the woman has to bear children.
I think the physical labor, the toughness of that, plus also she probably, because her life expectancy was till 25, she had to bear as many children as she was probably pregnant the entire time while the guy's out there tilling the fields. Yeah. She's birthing babies in order to be able to have workers to be able to work on that farm.
Okay, so if I understood you correctly, you're blaming farmers for all the ills of society.
Yes, that's what this book says. Yeah. That was the beginning of the end for society as a species. Humans as a species was the idea that once we became an agricultural society. Yeah. Anyway, crazy good stuff.
Right.
It's called Sex at Dawn. I thought of you yesterday. I was listening to it in the car, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, Tom would love this. We'll be right back with your letters. Doug's Linwood Mazda. Thank you, Doug's Linwood Mazda. Thanks, Mike, and the rest of the gang over there for sponsoring the Tom McCurley Show, especially the letters and allowing the mailman to drive one of your Mazdas every single week. And here he comes now with a song in his heart. And we got lots of letters about my political act, Tom. What do you think?
I can't imagine that not.
The audience knows what's good. I could have my head in a great big jar, and I would be perfectly content. By the way, that's a quote from you. That's not me. I don't want my head
that
in a
sure
great big jar.
Sure sounds like you, John.
Speaking of somebody who lives in a big jar, a teeny tiny lady lives in a pickle jar, Tom. Here we go.
Start off with a head tax.
By the way.
Our top story.
Hold on. Are we commenting or not commenting? Jacob, make a decision.
Wait, I've got to make the rules?
Yes.
Keep comments to 5 seconds or less.
Okay, good. Okay, here we go.
Head tax, Darren in Fall City. Get up. Get down. Ain't no head tax in this town.
Say with me. Get up. Get down. There's a women's movement in this town.
There we go.
Okay, that's Darren. Do you think the city council would have reversed the head tax if nobody on the council was up for re-election in November? Vegas bookies say that's a no, babe. Seattle voters still need to vote their butts out of office. We don't think there's the election is not.
Sorry, over 5 seconds, Tom. 425. It's the 19th. From Sawant to Trump, driving me crazy from the very start of the show.
Good. Diana in Greenbank. The Seattle City Council should hire experienced auctioneer John Curley with Tom as his cute sidekick.
Yes.
Instead of floating weak trial balloons, paying for surveys, and a walking back already passed measures, they could have a Tom and Curley auction off their tax proposals. $500 for a head tax. Raise your bid number to get in on this fabulous deal. No bids at $500. How about $250? Do I see $250? The City Council could raise money by charging admission and hire Tim Iman to sell expensive themed cocktails. The teeny tiny tax martini, for instance, made with gin. Iman would be so busy crafting signature cocktails, he wouldn't have time to craft any of those annoying initiatives of his. There are so many wins in this scenario, I can't even count them all.
For 253, North Korea, military pilots are required to fly a certain number of hours semi-annual. They're required to perform their combat tasks. If they don't bomb empty hills there, they'll bomb empty hills somewhere else. Any real cuts in training will be paid for by loss of lives. Not a good deal.
Wow. 360, wow, some great news on North Korea, and Tom still has to be a hater. What? I was very measured.
Sorry, 5 seconds is up. 253, I can't wait to book my reservation at the Trump Brand Luxury Resorts on the coast of North Korea. I hear you, it's all-you-can-eat rotten carrots and moldy cabbage buffet.
Woohoo! And Dell and Linwood, historic indeed. Trump actually believes he can trust Little Rocket Man. What a fool. China will have the last laugh.
And for some reason, 360 says, I just realized Curly reminds me of Goldie Hawn in Overboard before Kurt Russell made her a good person. We know what that means.
Well, clearly you're not a good person.
Sorry, 5 seconds is up. Moving on.
On traveling, 206. There's a big debate about this in the hiking community, too. Many people refuse to give out trail names on social media now because of the massive impact on the trails.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage left, dog poo everywhere, people not staying on the marked trails, and destroying the vegetation. Yeah, we never got to that story about social media ruining the outdoors.
253, John, your question why people on fixed income would move to Seattle is easily answered. It all depends on what your income is fixed at. Duh. Why don't we end a sentence with a preposition?
Why did you skip all the travelings?
I don't know.
They just bored me. Back to traveling.
All right.
I've been to Vietnam 4 or 5 times in the last 5 years, and I'll go back again. It's like Thailand, John, 25 years ago. Largely undeveloped and cheap.
And Wes in Puyallup says, funny, Tom named my last 3 vacations. An upcoming trip in places it shouldn't go. I found Tahiti and Bora Bora. If they charge a fortune, most people won't go, so less trash. By the way, I don't think Jacob likes me.
Do I have five seconds to respond? I don't know what's going on, Wes.
You got to raise your game, I guess, to meet James.
Tom, moving on.
Wes. Vince, the 38 and no kids guy.
Yes.
Okay. Traveling. I'm backpacking through Italy in 2020. It's where my family is from, but life hack for not leaving a footprint, folks everywhere. Every year, I go to Vegas for a week.
Mm.
Always something new. Drive German and Italian cars on a racetrack. The Eiffel Tower has a nightclub. Huge rock waterfalls with a bar built into a boot. Ride a roller coaster through New York. Vegas has it all to do whatever you want, whenever you want.
And TechWorkers 425, I come here because if you come here because of the opportunity to have high-wage jobs, that doesn't mean you are rich.
Does not mean you are rich. Yeah, right. I got you. Okay. And 253, John, your question went
to people. No, that was it. We did it right.
Okay. Democratic outsider candidates.
Yes.
Oprah and Mike Pence worship different gods, but only one gets made fun of. I have no problem mocking both of their gods.
See if you can get away with that. Pepper spray 360. I'm a correction officer, and no pepper spray doesn't work on everyone, and it could take up to 30 seconds to work.
Ah. 509, that guy had the best description for describing getting pepper sprayed. It feels like lava. Having been pepper sprayed a couple of times, it feels like a log is burning your face off.
Says that right on the side of the can. Jonah in Tacoma. If pepper spray is such a guarantee way to stop someone, anyone with a weapon, why stop at classrooms? I can see now. Police and military armed with, not with firearms, but a $1 can of mace. And here's the safest way to stop a mass murderer.
Oh, we have so many letters.
But you know what? We did keep on time, though. You got to give credit there. And for some reason, oh, there she is. Teeny tiny lady, where are you?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Comes from Higgy in Rochester. Hey, guys. Greetings from the Democratic People's Republic of New York. With Trump's success in North Korea, maybe we could celebrate by firing John's ashes, hair plugs, plastic hip, and teeth out of a North Korean cannon on one of those beautiful beaches. Oh, guess that didn't come out right. Oops. But great show, guys.
Why do that to me?
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because you deserve it, you Goldie Hawn.
By the way, no one here wrote about my political ad thing.
Son of a gun.
Like 3 minutes.
Bye.